how to avoid running on empty. Because the reality is, and I'm not saying that any of us are at a point like that, but we do get to a point sometime where we are tired. And we just need to be filled with what God has for us. Not what the world can offer us, but what God has for us. Because true fulfillment, true restoration come from the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, you're not going to get that power source, that true fulfillment that you're looking for. And we have to always remember that we are here on assignment. We have a calling on our life. We have a purpose on our life. And in order to fulfill that purpose that God has for us, we have to be connected to the right source. The world cannot give us what the Lord, the world can't give us what God could give us. So I want to teach on that. Y'all know my teaching style. Don't teach too long, but I'm allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way in this place. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, just want to say thank you, Lord, just for allowing us to be in your presence. Lord God, I ask that you open up our heart, our mind, our spirit. Lord God, to hear the word of God. Lord, have your way. The Holy Spirit, come into this place. Have your way, Lord God. I ask that I decrease and you increase so we could do what you are calling us to do, that we could be the willing vessels that you have for us, Lord God, and that we could identify if we get to a point, a breaking point in our life where we need you to fill us up with your spirit so we could continue to run this race and this course that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when I think about the title Running on Empty, I think about a vehicle. And I'm not a mechanic. I don't know a lot about cars. So if I say the wrong thing, please forgive me. But when I think about a vehicle, we think about the car itself. We think about the engine, which is like the power source because you need your engine to work. You get warning signals when something is off balance. Like you get your gauges and you know when you need to fill your tank, you have all of that. And then you have your different tanks, like your oil tank, your gas tank, and all these other different fluid things that help keep the vehicle running. And then you have your manual, which is your instruction guide, that tells you everything about your vehicle. So when I think about a vehicle, I parallel to our lives. Like, our body is our vehicle. Inside our engine is our spirit. We get warning signs when we need to rest, when we need to go to the doctor, when we need to do better things for ourselves. The body gives us warning. When you're hungry, you hear your stomach growling. When you're yawning, you know you're tired. We get warnings. And then we get, we have our spiritual tank that needs to be filled every day of the Lord. And then we have a manual, which is our Bible and Jesus. So my question is, how are you taking care of your temple? If you have your Bible, which our pastor said you should because you're in church, if you could turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. And the scriptures say, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That scripture right there, when I thought of that, it made me think of, and it's so funny how I'm pretty sure we all have rented a vehicle at one point in time. And you know that the way they give you that vehicle is the way you need to return it back, which means you're going to be a little bit more cautious how you take care of it. You're going to make sure there's no scratches and make sure you don't need no food and make sure it's in good condition when you turn it back. And the funny thing is some of us take better care of those type of vehicles than we take care of our own. So we want to make sure it's back in stable condition, but then when God bless you with your own, why are we not taking care of the same way? It's no different like our body. Sometimes we are caregivers. Many of us are wearing many hats, and we pour into our jobs, and we pour into our ministry, we pour into our marriage, we pour into our kids, we pour into other things, and then when time for you to pour into yourself, what do? And if you can't pour into yourself and get that proper fulfillment, you're not, all those other things, have the ability to tarnish because you have to make sure you are filled in order to fulfill those things. So the thing I ask is, how well are you taking care of yourself? So I'm going to take away the teaching mode, and I'm going to get into my nursing mode because I'm a registered nurse. Amen. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions because I ask the ladies this a lot of times when we have our women conference, because a lot of people say, oh, I take good care of myself. And I say, okay, how do you take care of yourself? Are you drinking your water every day? And I say water, not fluids. I mean, coffee, cranberry juice, Kool-Aid, lemonade, iced tea, those are good, but they are not proper hydration. Are you drinking that every day? Because what we have to understand, water is like oil to an engine. If you don't have oil into your engine, what happens? The engine could potentially lock up. I know the hard way, trust me. I'm paying on that now. So you need that hydration in order for your organs and your cells to properly function. You'd be surprised that you see people with dehydration, people who lick in their lips all the time. That's not cute. You need some water. It's just dry. You know, it's just water. But that's your body saying that you need some hydration. Your skin is dry. Your hair is brittle. Your nails are brittle. That's dehydration. It could also cause acute kidney injury, cause your kidneys to lock up, and cause kidney dysfunction because there's no hydration. It could cause, for the elderly, altered mental status because it caused urinary tract infection. And the first time when we see somebody confused who's an elderly person, we think of urinary tract infection, and which is dehydration. It could cause constipation. So you could just, one little thing that we could do every day could prevent all those other things. It's just drinking water. Make sure you got your water? Okay. I would like some too. The other thing, exercise. Are we exercising? I mean, are we really moving our bodies at least 30 minutes a day? Because what you don't use, you lose. And you'd be surprised that you could prevent pneumonia, you could prevent constipation, you could prevent blood clots, you could prevent cholesterol diseases if you just exercise. Something that simple that we should be doing every day to promote health in our bodies, we're not doing. Fruits and vegetables. Are we eating healthy? And I mean, a healthy, balanced meal. Because the thing is, they say we are what we eat. And if we're not taking time to read labels and we're just putting all these chemicals in our body, this is stuff that's causing cancer. I mean, look at the research. All those chemical things that you look at the labels, you can't pronounce the words and you just eating it and it tastes good, we're damaging ourselves. So it's so important that we just eat healthy. Daily vitamins. Are you taking your vitamins? Amen. Amen. Because the thing is, our body is equipped with vitamins. Thank you. But we have to make sure we restore those things that we lose. That's why you have iron deficiency. You have vitamin D deficiency because we have those things in us, but we need to make sure we restore it every day. We eliminate those things every day, so we need to put it back in us. Are you taking mental breaks? Are you doing meditation every single day? You need to, your mind, and I know Brother Alfonso talked about this. It's so powerful because it controls everything. And sometimes you need to remove yourself from your everyday activity and just be in presence with the Lord. Just take a break from everything. You need to refuse. Sometimes I will have, like after that situation when that lady came in and said something about, you know, wanting to hurt herself and her son, I need to take a break. I could not go on the way I would do. I had to remove myself and go to the sanctuary and pray because some things could take a toll on you. And sometimes you need to remove yourself from that equation and just say, Lord, let me be in your presence and let me get proper fulfillment. And you need to do that every single day. The last thing, are you resting? And when I say resting, that's not mean just laying down in the bed. That means a mental rest. Because sometimes we could be physically resting and our mind not resting, And that's not rest. That's why you can see somebody say, well, I was asleep. I was laying down for 8 hours, but they still look like they was tired, only got 2 hours of sleep, because they're not resting. It's like, resting is like having a cell phone that if you don't charge that battery, how long you think that phone is going to work for you? So when you, every day you have to recharge your battery so it could work and be, you know, fulfill its purpose of, you know, use. So our bodies have to be recharged every day, and not just a 2 hours, a 3 hours, not even 5 hours, at least 7 to 9 hours a day. We need rest. So I'm going to take the nursing part and put them back, the teaching part. So that's just the nursing 101 things that we need to do, that if we're going to operate in this body and we're going to be fulfilling the calling of the Lord, we got to take care of our vehicle. We got to take care of our temple. We got to take care of ourselves. We cannot do what God called us to do. I tried it before. I used to be one that would stay sick all the time. And I would try to do ministry. I would come in here and try to prepare for a play and then try to go work. And anybody know me, I was working at least 2 or 3 jobs at the time and taking care of a disabled father and, you know, taking care of my family. And one day somebody pointed out to me, Jaquita, you always sick. And that was enough to say, okay, I can't operate like this. Because I'm still trying to operate, and I'm running on empty, and I'm giving a little bit here and a little bit there. But we're not designed to give a little bit of anything. We are designed to give our best. So here I am, I'm just giving a minimum until one day I say, okay, this ain't going to work for me. So I made a declaration to the Lord because I knew bronchitis was causing me to be sick, and I spoke to bronchitis. I said, I declare in the blood of Jesus, bronchitis, you have to leave my body and never return. There's no place for you in my temple because you're slowing me down and you're preventing me from doing the will of God. And I have not had an ounce of bronchitis since 2016. So I had to declare that, because the thing is, we have to do what God is calling us to do, and you cannot do what you're called to do if you're tired and you're weak and you're fatigued and you're not taking care of yourself. So first point, because I give pointers as I go along, is how well you're taking care of your temple. We got to take care of our temple. Secondly, as I talk about the engine, and the engine is like a illustration of your spirit. What are you feeding your spirit? And how often are you filling it up? Can you turn with me to Ephesians 6, 10 through 19? It states, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, and you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on a breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. To me right there, that's an illustration how we should prepare ourselves every single day. every day we should, before we even stand up, and I know everybody have their own personal time with the Lord. They, some do it in the afternoon, some do it in the evening. I would encourage you, it makes a big difference before you start your day, before you even get out the bed, that you just give God the honor, the glory, give him thanks, and then spend that quality time with him first thing in the morning before you start your day. Because when I think about that, I think of an illustration of a cup. And every morning your cup could be filled with, you know, the spirit of peace and joy and happiness and truth and wisdom and everything God gives you. And then throughout the day, things could be poking a little hole in your cup. And these things could be draining you. But if you already feel, as they drain you, you can speak to those things. They don't have to get you all the way to empty. That's like how, like I said, we have that gas tank. We know when we're about to get to empty. So why do many of us, and I'm guilty, we wait till we get all the way to E and then want to fill our gas up and then talking about, well, why I'm driving on fumes. No, you had a warning sign. You don't have to wait till it get to that point to go and fill your tank up. You already know what you need to do, and I'm guilty of it. I ain't going to speak on it, but we shouldn't wait to get to that point. We should not. So I look at it like every day, if you have the right fulfillment, as the day goes on, and things do have the potential because we live in this thing called life, and life happens, and things poke at us, and it could potentially drain us, you're already filled. All you need to do is put those holes, like identify those things that are draining you, and then get refilled again. And that's how you stay filled all the time. The thing is, like I said, identify those things. Like I told you, when I was sick with bronchitis, I spoke directly to it. I already know what was causing me to be sick. I know what was causing me to slow down. I know what was interfering with me doing what God called me to do. I have to speak to it. Certain things that you know is draining your spirit. Stop saying, well, I don't know what. No, you know what it is. Speak directly to it. Cast it, bind it in the blood of Jesus, because that's how you're going to deal with it. Stop making excuses for it. Certain things that you know you have, speak to it. The Bible said we can speak to our mountains, and they will be moved. So when you know that there are things that are draining you, say, Lord, I need to speak to this thing that is causing a drainage in my spirit. And then once I cover that spirit, don't put a band-aid over it, because that's what we tend to try to do. We know that we got these little leap holes and we try to put a band-aid over it. No, certain things you need to declare and bind and speak to it, and then fill your temple back up with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And then, as I stated, how often you feeding your spirit? Let me ask you all a question. How often you all drive your vehicle? You drive it every single day? How often you fill your gas tank up? Is it weekly? Every day? Can some of y'all go a week filling your gas tank up? Just once a week? That what kind of car y'all drive? Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, for some cars, in some situations, that might work. But to me, I look at it like this. Don't wait, like I said, till your gas tank get emptied and try to fill it. Keep it on full all the time to avoid that emptiness. Because the thing is, every day we should be in the presence of the Lord every single day. It's not enough to just come on Sunday, like I had mentioned before. Sometimes it's not even enough to come on Wednesday. Every single day, being in the presence of the Lord is going to keep you fulfilled all the time. Psalms 1:3 says, you don't have to turn with me, turn to it, but it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Day and night. Not once, not just day, not just night, both. And I say that that's so important, because when you wake up in the morning and you get that fulfillment, at the end of the day, you should talk to the Lord, just, you know, whatever your flaws was, things that you should ask the Lord to forgive, things that you need to make right. You do that. Spend that quality time with the Lord day and night. As I stated, the engine is what helps our vehicle to fulfill its purpose. Our spirit is designed to fulfill God's plan for our lives. Therefore, our spirit need to be have the right fulfillment. So let's address warning signals. Are we failing to address the warning signals that God gives us? My sister, and I shared with y'all about her testimony with lymphoma. One thing I was so proud of my sister is that even though I'm a nurse, she knows her body better than I do. And sometimes you can't let the doctors tell you what's going on with your body. You know your body. And as much as they kept telling her, oh, it's just bronchitis or it's just this, she said, no, something is not right. And she could have just laid on that and said, no, okay, well, I'm going to just put my trust in the doctor. No, she knows. Let me tell you, as a nurse, I can't do my job without a patient telling me what's going on with them. I do not have the ability. I could look and I could say, okay, this look like this is what it is, but I need the information from the patient in order for me to do my job. So you know what is going on with you. Nobody can tell you better what's going on with you but you besides God. So for her, she knew something wasn't right. She was not going to rest on that. She kept going back to the doctors until eventually somebody told her, no, it is cancerous. And, I mean, that's not something she was searching for, but she knew what they was telling her is not what it is. And the doctor said, if you did not address this in a timely fashion, this would not have the outcome that it had. We got to make sure when we go to the doctors and they tell us pre-something, pre-diabetes, pre-hypertension, to me, those are warnings. I only had to hear that one time when I went to the doctors and they said, well, you know, Ms. Brown, you're a little overweight. Pre-diabetes, I was doing plant-based like it ain't nothing. I was trying to lose weight. I'm in the gym. I don't need nobody to wait till I get hypertension. I don't want to get that. So the minute that you know that there's stuff that runs in your family and that's your risk, you should already start taking better care of yourself. Because certain stuff are genetic. It's certain stuff you can't help. But certain stuff, because it runs in your family, does not necessarily have to run in you. So when the minute that you hear and you know it runs in your family, you could do something about it. You could prevent it. Because trust me, diabetes, hypertension, cancer, all that runs in my family is not going to run in me. I'm sorry. I'm going to do what is necessary to prevent those things. But we got to take heed to those warnings. When our bodies tell us that something is not right, are you acting on it the way that you should? When our spirit is draining, are you taking the time to get the proper fulfillment? Try not to push yourself beyond your limits because that has the tendency of wearing yourself out. I don't know vehicles very well, but I was told the more gas you put to the car, the more I think you run your gas out, I guess. I don't know. Like the faster you drive, the more it runs. Accelerate. Okay. Sometimes that's what we do in our lives. Sometimes we need to just slow down a little bit so we can reserve what we have. And many times we're constantly pushing, 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 and you're getting those warning signals that you need to slow down, but you tend not to do that. So do not ignore the warning signals that the Lord gives you. I believe we serve an amazing God that cares about our health, that cares about our well-being. He cares about you. And sometimes we'll say something like, well, something told me I should do that. No, it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told you this what you need to do. And many times we find ourselves in situations that we could have avoided if we just had been obedient to listening to the warning. So 3 John 2 say, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. That lets you know the Lord do care about your well-being. And he wants you to take better care of yourself so you can fulfill the calling that he has for you. So like I said, we address our vehicle. We address our engine, which is our spirit. Our vehicle is our body. We address how we should fill our spirit every day with the word of God, and we should do it every day. And we address the warning signs. The last thing I want to address is the manual. The manual, like the instruction guide. Every vehicle has it. And that guide could tell you everything that's going on with your vehicle. But how often we all look at it? When we encounter a problem, How often do we go to that resource to help us identify that problem? It makes me think of, if you have an issue with your vehicle, you've done everything that you can, you have the warnings and you tried to fix it, and here it is now, you're going to the dealership or going to the mechanics, and you want to hand your car over, because this is what we tend to do with our problems. So now you go to the dealership and you're sitting in the car and they say, okay, ma'am, can you step out so we can look at the vehicle, and you want to keep standing in the car. Many times we like to hold on to our situation and we're not giving it to God. And that is what's wearing us down the most. You encounter a situation and you know you need to go to God because you've done all that you can in the situation. Instead, you giving it to God and leaving it to God and trusting in God and moving from it and say, the Lord has it. We want to keep holding on to it. And the thing is that that's what drains us when we are worrying about something that we're supposed to give to the Lord in the first place. God said, cast your burdens onto him, which means you're supposed to give it to him. And many times when I think of that, it's like I said, you're going to a dealership or going to a mechanic and you're saying, I need you to fix my car, but you don't want to give up the keys. You want to sit in the car, but you want them to fix it. They need full control over the car in order to identify what the issue is. And many times we don't want to give full control over to God. We want to keep holding on to the issue and say, Lord, fix my problem, fix my life, fix this issue. But I'm going to continue to worry about it. I'm going to continue dwelling on it. I'm going to keep talking about it. That's not true control. If you want the Lord to handle the problem, you have to give it over to him. And giving it over to him is doing this. Pray over and they say, girl, you can't believe what happened. And you keep talking over it. No, give it to the Lord. And that's what, like I said, going to the mechanic. If you want them to fix your problem, you got to give them a key. You got to give them full control. You got to trust that they know what they're doing and they're able to do it. They might not give you the price you want and all that other stuff, but you have to trust that they are the experts in what they're doing and you need to hand it over to them. Scripture, Matthew 11:28-30 say, come to me. I'm going to just pause right there. Come to me. Sometimes we are dealing with spiritual issues and we would go to the world before we go to God. It's like we want direct deliverance from the Lord. We want direct healing from him. We want direct comfort from him, but we choose to deal with him indirectly. The scripture right there says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And how I interpret that is give it to me, trust in me, hand it over to me, give me control over it, surrender, don't worry about it, and stay focused on me and trust in me to know that I will take care of it. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes we could think about things and we could put ourselves in a situation where we add more heaviness to our spirit. As I mentioned this before to you all, when I had encountered a real bad accident that I had to basically retrain myself to get behind the wheel again because I was so scared to drive after an accident that resulted in someone's death. And then my father had a stroke, which we didn't know whether he was going to make it 2 weeks before I was supposed to start school. Just the thought of, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Like, Lord, I got this going on. My father's sick. I'm supposed to start school. I'm working this job. And mentally, we could drain ourselves and cause our spirit to be heavy. And I remember I had to go outside. I had to get away from the situation. I had to go to God and say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And it's like I heard the spirit say, don't worry about your father. Don't worry about your situation. I got this. I would not have opened this door for you if I didn't want you to walk through it. So I just need for you to walk and trust and just keep doing what I call you to do, and I will handle the rest. And let me tell you, that when I lift that up, I didn't even worry about it no more. I did well in school. My father was healed. I was still working my job. And even though, yes, I was only sleeping probably 2-3 hours a day, the Lord gave me the supernatural strength in Philippians 4:13 that I could do all things through Christ that strengthened me. So even though, yes, I was only resting for 3 hours, I was operating like I had 8-9 hours of sleep, because I had to give it over to the Lord. And that's what we have to do to avoid heaviness and burdens that we're dealing with. Give it to Him. He is there to take it. He already knows. He give you a test that He knows you could pass. He do not give you a test that He knows you could fail. So He already knows you're capable of passing the test. Just give it to Him. So, as I sum it up, because that's all I have for you, is that, like I said, the things that we need to do to avoid running on empty, take care of our bodies. And I gave you those illustrations, those pointers. Take care of your spirit, first and foremost, by coming to church, staying in the Word, staying prayerful, reading your Bible. Pay attention to the warning signals and ask the Lord to give you a spirit of discernment. Because it's one thing we get warning signals in our body, but God gives you discernment around you too when it comes to different spirits that are on attack of your, trying to attack you and trying to form a weapon against you. Ask the Lord to give you discernment on those things. Stay prayerful every single day. And when you've done all you can in all those situations, you give it to the Lord. Give it to Him, hand it over to Him, trust in Him, walk away, and leave it up to Him to do what He is going to do in it.